Good morning. A few people we need to remember in prayer, think about. Our sister Polly severely injured her hand at work, and she's home and has to keep it elevated. And she's due to see a surgeon tomorrow, isn't it? Isn't she? Let's remember her. Very, very painful, a very serious injury to her hand. Brother Todd Nybert has been in the hospital with a combination of pneumonia and something else that he's had a problem with in the past. We'll remember him. He's not feeling very well at all. You know, he's been a sick man for years. Brother Dale Simpson also was put in the hospital with pneumonia on top of his other problems. So let's remember them and others that we don't know. But I've asked Brother John Shoes to lead us in prayer.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this morning. We pray, Lord, that you put on our preacher's heart your words for this day. Lord, we pray for these ones that he mentioned. Pray for others, Lord, that are sick. We know not of. You know each one, Lord. Pray that you'll be with each one according to your will, Lord. Lord, we just ask for your blessing this day on your word, Lord. And Lord, the ones that may be traveling or whatever, you know each one, Lord. Lord, whatever we ask according to the flesh. You know all things. You know what's right. Lord, we just pray that it's your will that's done in everything, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Ask all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. John chapter 7. John 7. Read with me the first 9 verses. I know I sent most of you, or many of you, the bulletin, but the text, the messages changed on Friday. Not the message didn't change, but the text did. And Lord willing, Wednesday night we'll finish up 1 Peter chapter 5, God of all grace. But this morning, look at John 7. Let's read the first 9 verses. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry or in around Judea, Jerusalem, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren, his earthly family, born of Joseph and Mary, they said unto him, therefore said unto him, he wouldn't go to Jerusalem, and they said unto him, depart hence, leave here, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. There's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. And then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up. You go up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Now, the Lord used this word world, and they used the word world, and this is another clear example of how the word world does not mean every single person in the world, does it? They said, show yourself to the world. They knew he couldn't be seen by every person in the world. What he was saying was, there are a people in Jerusalem out of every nation and tongue under heaven. And God did save thousands of them at Pentecost in Jerusalem. And then he said, the world hateth me. Now, every person in the world did hate him. He had some disciples right then that did not hate him. They loved him because he first loved them. So here's another clear example. John 3:16 does not mean every person in the world, does it? Yeah. All right, so that's something to consider there. But all men by nature, all men, you and I included, by nature, hate God, hate the truth. Paul wrote that in Romans 1, in Romans 3, very clearly. Our Lord said it himself in Psalm 14. He looked down to see if there were any. All by nature do hate God, the true God, hate the truth, because men and women and young people love sin. They love themselves. And this underscores what our Lord is saying here, underscores the need to be born again. This is absolute proof that man must be given a new nature to love God. Some have. And what this, again, is another evident proof, another clear evidence of those who have been chosen of God, those who have been born of God, those who are His people. They love Him. Others do not. Not even His earthly family. Not even His blood kin, so to speak. They didn't believe Him. And no one will. And if you do, you see, this is to the praise. The gospel, salvation, from first to last, is to the praise of the glory of His grace, of His sovereign, electing, choosing grace. Here it is, who maketh thee to differ? To nobody in the world would love God unless God first loved them and chose them and called them. All right, verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. He would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill Him. After these things, after all was said and done, after all the miracles, after all of the benevolent acts of kindness He showed, after all feeding so many people, after all these things, after all that He said many things, didn't He? And He said many hard things, or that's what the people called them, hard things. After all these things, after that, many walked no more with Him. Many went back, it says. What'd they go back to? They were supposed to be His disciples. What did they go back to? They're walking no more with Him. They're not believing Him. They're not looking at the world, because that's what they were of. They were of the world. If they had been of us, John said, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they were not of us. They went back to the world. They walked no more with Him. After many things He said, they found them hard things, and they walked no more with Him. Well, He did not walk in Jerusalem. He did not walk in Jerusalem, but he walked in Galilee. You remember we started looking at this, how the Lord says He went down to Galilee. He was at that wedding feast, and He had to go down a long journey to Galilee. You remember that? How He passed by Magdala? And He went to Galilee. What's Galilee? It's a no place. It's a nowhere. It's where nobody lives there. Nothing good came out of Galilee. Just a bunch of poor fishermen is all it was. But that's where He went. And that's where He stayed. And that's where He walked. In fact, the Scriptures calls it His city. That's who he came for. The poor. Have the gospel preached unto him. The poor in spirit. The nobodies. The nothings. He hides himself. You see, he didn't walk in Jewry and Jerusalem. He walked in Galilee with his chosen poor people. The Jews, verse 1, sought to kill him. Who are the Jews? They're the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Believers in the Bible. Believers in Moses. Keepers of the law. Strict Sabbatarians. Strict law keepers. They loved the law and they loved God. No, they didn't. They hated Jesus Christ. He is God. Are any Jews left today? These Jews were religious. They were moral. They were law keeping. They were Sunday go to meet, Saturday keeping people. Church, good church going people. And they're still alive today. Not dead in sin, but they're the Southern Baptists, they're the German Baptists, they're the Free Will Baptists, they're the Methodists, Catholics, Presbyterians, Pentecostals. Good church going fathers and mothers and good citizens and all that. Like Scott said to a man one time who was talking about his uncle, I believe it was. A man was talking about his uncle and said, he's a good man, he's a good father, good this and good that. Scott said, there's one big problem. He said, what's that? Brother Scott said, he hates God. And that's a fact. And so did you. Huh? This is the test. So did you. But God. But God. The Jews' feast, verse 2, look at it. The Jews' feast of tabernacle. That was not the Jews' feast of tabernacle. It was the Lord's feast of tabernacle. Just like it was the Lord's Passover, but it had degenerated and been, now it is called the Jews' feast. People, what do people, whose name do people call their churches by today? Their denominations. Lutheran. Lutheran. Methodist. Wesleyan. Huh? Free Will Baptist Church. Just blatantly. It's the Lord's church. And all that is done in the Lord's church is unto the Lord, is to be unto the Lord. This is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's house. These are the Lord's people. This is all about the worship of the Lord. Now they said so. They said this, but their feasts were not unto the Lord. It was for themselves. The Jews' feasts. It was a big, see if this doesn't ring true. Their big feasts were not to worship God, though they said they were. They were not to worship God, but to socialize. It was the Jews' feasts. In other words, it's family fun time. That's in that religion. Well, his brethren, verse 3, his brethren said unto him, depart him. Now, Pete, I'm just faithfully dealing with it. And if this doesn't apply now, we don't need to look at it. Oh, is it the same? God, nothing's changed. God has a people, but they're not in the majority. They're in the minority. God has a people. They're not found in mainstream Orthodox religion, but they're without the camp. Hebrews 13 says, let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. That's what it said. And you had to find Christ, you had to go to Galilee amongst a bunch of poor sinners, not where all the vast crowd of religious people were. Verse 3, his brethren, that's his earthly brethren, said, leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples, everybody believes in you. Everybody wondering where Jesus is. your disciples, that they may see the works that thou doest. Leave here. Matthew 13. Go over there and we'll see who this is talking about. Matthew 13. This is talking about his supposed blood kin. Those brothers and sisters that were born of Joseph and Mary, which Catholicism vehemently denies. But here it is. Mary had at least six other children. Look at it. Matthew 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son, they said. The Jews said that. Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren, James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, or Jude, and his sisters. Are they not all with us? That's at least two, isn't it? Probably three, probably more. They didn't even list, didn't name women by name, very few. Whence then hath this word man's in italics, because they held him with disdain, this fellow, all these things. And they were offended in him. Didn't our Lord just say that? Does this offend you? It did. Everything he said about himself, about salvation, offended him. And he said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. His own household. This is a clear prophecy, a fulfillment of prophecy. And Psalm 69 is one of the Psalms of the cross. Listen as I quote this to you. Psalm 69 is one of the Psalms of the cross. It's a clear, Christ could have quoted every word from Psalm 69 from the cross. Psalm 22. And in Psalm 69, verse 8, he says, I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. My own kin doesn't even know me. None do, none will, unless he reveals himself. You see that? This is such an undeniable proof of this, that we must be born again. The Jews' feast. Now, verse 3, they didn't believe on him. They said, go up to Jerusalem. Verse 4, there's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. In other words, they're saying, if you want to be known, if you want others to believe in you, you've got to go where the people are. You've got to go where the crowd is. You've got to prove yourself to them. You've got to make yourself known to everybody. You want people to believe you, don't you? That's why you're here, isn't it? To try to get people to believe you and follow you? No, it is not. No, it is not. Verse 5. Neither did his brethren believe in him. They didn't believe in him. They saw what he did. They heard his voice, didn't they? No one saw more than they did for 30 some years. He didn't believe in him. Seeing miracles, seeing signs, won't save you. Hearing with these ears, won't save you. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation is a sovereign act of God according to the working of his mighty power. Salvation is his choice. Salvation is him revealing himself in a supernatural way. Salvation to be born of God. Salvation is not, you're not born of blood. Remember John 1, 13? Not of bloods. Not of the will of man. Not of the will of the flesh. It's of God. None were clearer examples of that than his blood kin. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. You think if anybody would, they wouldn't. And it's proof of what our Lord said. Absolute proof. What advantage, though, doth the Jew have? Paul asked that in Romans 3. What advantage doth the Jew have? Many advantages, he said. The Jews didn't believe. They hated him. They sought to kill him. What advantage then that the Jews had? Many. They were committed to the oracles of God, the prophecies, the word of God. The prophets came to them. They heard the prophets of God. And it goes on to say in Romans 3, that's where he said that. What advantage had the Jews? Goes on to say, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Keeps going on. You've read it, huh? Clearly telling us that irreligious in Romans 1, religious in Romans 2, are we any better, any of us, any good at all by nature? None. Salvation's of the Lord. It's just a fact. And religious, irreligious, hate this, hate the truth, hate God. Say, preacher, this is hard. I didn't say it. The Lord Jesus Christ did. He said, the world hates me. Didn't it? But I don't hate him, do you? I don't. Romans 3 talks about there's none, they don't, the way of peace they don't know, that none seek after God. Well, I do. I know the way of peace. It says, none calleth on God. I do. The way of peace I know. I don't hate God. I love God. All things work together for good to them that love God. I love God. Why? There was a time when I didn't love God. In Romans 1, there was a time when God was not in any of my thoughts. But here's my salvation. I was in His thoughts. He loved me, even while I was yet sinner. A sinner. See, Christ died for the ungodly, not the good, not the religious. A fellow said to martyred, asked the Lord, a fellow one time, are you saved? He said, yes, I am. He said, how long have you been saved? He said, all my life. Martyr said, that's too long. You can't be saved unless you're lost. You can't be alive unless you're dead. What advantage had the Jew? What advantage did the Lord's brethren have? What advantage? Oh, my brethren. Think about it. I want you to stop and think about the advantages that His earthly brethren had. They witnessed, they looked and heard, looked at and beheld and heard the perfect, pure, sinless. They watched Him from a child in His perfect. He was perfect. Sinless. Pure, loving, kind, merciful, gracious. That'll save people if you just be kind to them. No, it won't. Wise. Oh, he was wise. They saw wisdom in him as a child while they were foolish little kids, you know, and they saw he's not like us. Understanding. Honest. They never heard a lie come out of his mouth. Nothing but perfect honesty and truth and sincerity and compassion and mercy. Never murmured, never complained, never upset, never agitated, never mad, never angry at anybody. Never. Ever. Think about this. They had to say, where'd he come from? He never lifted up his clean hand, a pure heart, never lifted up his hands unto vanity or swore deceitfully. Psalm 24. Never irritable, never upset, never unkind, never impatient, ever, once. Always loving, kind, gentle, meek, mild, lowly, but they didn't believe in him. Why? Because man is dead. Dead in sin. Depraved. He hates God. He hates holiness. He really does. Man likes his concept of it. Now, this is the sovereign Lord. This is a clear, could not be a clearer example of the sovereignty of our Lord in salvation. Could not he have saved his own flesh and blood? This is a clear example, a clear, undeniable scripture that tells us he doesn't love everybody. And this is the test of this is your God. If this is the God you know and the God you love, doth this offend you? Now, he did save some of them. Did you read some of those names? James, Jude, they were two apostles. That's who those men were. Jude, the other one, not Judas Iscariot, the other one was the Lord's brother. He was merciful to his own. But he was no respecter of person. He didn't love his own flesh and blood more than other people. He didn't choose them or prefer them over other people. He saved Mary Magdalene, and there's no evidence that he saved any of his sisters. Well, you say that. I have two granddaughters that I love dearly. No one loves their children more than I love them. Do you know the advantages that they have? Their great grandfather, one of the best, greatest preachers this generation has ever known. Both of their grandfathers are preachers, pastors. Their father is a mighty good preacher. Their uncles are preachers. Their aunts are believers. Their cousins. But if the Lord doesn't show sovereign mercy and grace to them, they're going to perish. And he doesn't have to, because it's my daughter. I hope he does. But if he doesn't, you know what I'm going to have to say? Like Eli said of his two boys, it's the Lord. That's who's on the Lord's side. That's who knows the Lord. That's who's experienced, who personally receives sovereign mercy and grace themselves. They know if the Lord hadn't chosen me, I wouldn't be here. If the Lord hadn't set his love on me, I wouldn't love him. If the Lord hadn't revealed his truth to me, I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't love it. Salvation is of the Lord. To the praise of the glory of his sovereign grace. I hope he does. Hopeful. But if he doesn't, I'm out. The Lord is not seeking to be known. The Lord is not trying to get people to believe him. That's what they said to him. In fact, the opposite is true. The Lord does not seek to be known. Man does not seek to know God. God is not trying to get people to seek him, to know him, to believe him. God is not trying to get people to believe him, to let him be God. People are dead. You hear people all the time say, God is trying to tell me something. Well, that's the wrong God. That's a God who can't save if he's just trying to tell you something. Now, the God who does the saving is the one who told the light to be light. Let there be light. There was light. He said, I've spoken it. I will do it. This is the God of the Bible. The one who speaks, and it happens. The one who purposely said, I'll do it. The one who says, I will call my sons. I will say unto them, come, and they will come. If he doesn't, they won't. But everyone he calls, they come. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God of the Bible. He's not seeking to be known. But he has a people who he knew before the world began and came into this world to find them and to make himself known to them. You see, he's a God, remember this, that hideth himself. He has hid these things from the wise and prudent. that revealed them to whom? Whom he willed. Babes came to his people to make himself known. Oh, look at this. I'm going to hurry. He said, verse 6, my time is not yet come. Your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. You go up to the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast. My time is not yet full come. And so he stayed right there. He abode in Galilee. My time is not yet. Yours is always, he said. Now, our Lord's first coming to this earth was in humiliation. He came to be made sin for us. He came to be made a curse for us. He came to fulfill the law for his people. He came to die. He came to be made a curse, to be put on the cross by God. By God. To be made a curse for his people. To be made a sin offering for his people. By God. For his people. He came to be humiliated. He came to be put to death as a substitute for God's people. And the next message is substitution. Please stay for it. He said, I came not to make myself known, but to be a substitute for my people. In fact, he was meek and lowly and hidden in a flesh and all that. But God knew him, and God's people are going to know him too. He came to die. You remember, many people wanted to make him king, and he hid himself. Why? They wanted him to be their king. They wanted to let him be their Lord. He always has been Lord. He was then Lord. He doesn't try to let them, wanting them to make him Lord. He is their Lord. But he came the first time to be the Lord their righteousness. And he hid themselves from them. And they wanted, you know, to make him king and all that, but he wouldn't do it. He hid himself. He came, and several, remember, he said to several that he healed, he said, don't tell them. Don't go tell them who did this. Remember that? He's not trying to get people to believe in that. He's going to send his Holy Spirit after he does this work on the cross, and he's going to send him out to all of his elect, and they're all going to know him, all of them, through the preaching of the gospel. And he said, your time is always, man is a vainglorious creature. He's always showing himself, wanting to, flaunting himself, glorifying himself. Look at me, pride of life. Look at me, look what I've done. And religion is the greatest offender. Look what we've done for the Lord. Look at us. Your time is always. But the Lord's day is coming. And he said before this, he said, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with his glory. And you know what he said the world's response will be? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also that pierced him out of every kindred on earth shall wail because of him. People, this underscored, do you not see what great mercy, what great grace, what great love, what great kindness that he has shown to you? If right now you receive him, if right now you believe him, if right now you bow to his sovereign will and all that, if right now you say, let God be true and every man a lie, if right now you bow the knee and you confess that he, not you made him Lord, but he is Lord, and he let you be one of his, that he accepted you. Oh, does this not underscore? Our Lord in verse 7 said, the world cannot hate you. Doesn't hate his own. Remember, John said that. Our Lord said, if you're of the world would love his own. John said, we're not of the world. They're of the world. The whole world lieth in, in wickedness. John said, if you're of the world would love you. They speak of the world, and the world loves them, false prophets and false gospel. They love to hear it. It's not offensive to anybody. But since you're not of God, they hate you. He said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. Because why? What did he say? Verse 7. I testify of this world that the works thereof are evil. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Hebrews 11 said, by preparing that ark, what did he do? Noah, by preparing the ark, was telling the world how much God loves them. That's not what that says. It says he condemned the world. Condemned it. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To all that fear him, they will hear the message, God loves you. Are you in this ark? God loves you. The love of God is in Christ. It's nowhere else. It's not outside of Christ. It's in Christ. And he testified of the works of this world and everything about it, that it is evil. He called it this present evil world. God doesn't love evil. Therefore, God doesn't love the world in that sense. He said, don't love the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of God. It's of men, he said. And he testified of the works of this world that they're evil. What does it say? What a refutation this is of modern thought that Jesus never condemned anybody. Isn't that what they say? You read. Jesus never condemned homosexuals. Jesus never condemned harlots. And Jesus never condemned any. That's not what he said. He said, if I had, my whole life is a condemnation of sin. God will judge the world in righteousness by that man, the perfect righteous man. You've got to be as perfect as him to get to heaven. Go learn what that means. You know what it means. You know. He said, I condemn this world. I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. But to his people, he lets them know that he came not for their condemnation. They're condemned already. That's what John 3:18 said. They're condemned already. But God so loved the world. Not everyone in it, but a people out of every kindred, nation, and tongue, and under heaven, tribe, out of every, his chosen people. He came for their condemnation. He came to be condemned for them. He lets them know that, not first. He lets them feel their condemnation first. He lets them feel their unworthiness first. He lets them feel that they're no better than anybody else first. He lets them feel like they ought to send me to hell. And for everybody that he does that for, convinces them of sin. Then he says, I came for you. I came for you. You're the ones I came for. Not the righteous, but sinners. So he said, go up. You go up to the feast. I don't go up yet. My time is not yet full come. And look at verse 9. This is, every word is significant. When he said these words, after he said these words, he abode still in Galilee. Oh my. Our Lord. Oh, his sovereignty. Oh, his majesty. Oh, his calm, firm, resolute will and purpose. Later on it says he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. His disciples didn't want him to go. They knew they were out to kill him and they would kill him. But he said, no man takes my life from me. I'm not coming to try to get people to believe me. I'm coming for my people. I'm coming to do God's will. This is the will of God. That everyone he's given me, I should lose nothing. And my time is not yet. Knowing the will of God, knowing the purpose of God, knowing the time that was given him, is not yet time, but in the fullness of time. God sent forth his Son, calm, resolute, went straight into the face of his foes and his danger, knowing full well what was going to happen, but knowing it was all of God. knowing that God sent him for a particular people, set his face like a flint, went all the way to the cross, fulfilled God's will and purpose and law and every jot and tittle for his people. The Redeemer of his people, the sovereign captain of their salvation, went to that cross. And buddy, he finished that work, having obtained eternal redemption for his people, bowed his head in sovereign majesty. It's over. The job is done. Laid his body in the ground like they said it would. 3 days later, put his clothes back on and came walking out of there. I told you. And went right back to heaven, and there he sits right now. And yet, he's still in Galilee. He still dwells with, not in Jewry, not in the midst of the mainstream religion. No, it's not where he's at. He's still in Galilee with his poor people. To this man would I look, the Lord said. To this man would I look. This is who I look to. This is who I go to. This is who I say, came to say. This is who I dwell with. This is who I reveal myself to. This is who I came to say. Him that is poor and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. That's who he came. Okay.